Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome into another episode of Prep Rally. I'm Brad with Dalton, as usual, here to talk about high school sports, mainly high school football here in Northeast Mississippi. It's the 4th of October. We're into week 8 of football season. Week 8. So I say this every week, Dalton. It flies by. Football season seems like the shortest season.
Yeah, it does. And like you said, week 8, I mean, it is absolutely flown by. And now we were right in the middle of division play. A lot of key games this week that are going to go a long way in determining who get home field advantage in the playoffs and who you know, win the divisions. And you know, and then today they also announced Mississippi-Alabama All-Stars, so that's another big thing that happened. And
Got some area players on that roster in the Blackwell game as well, the North-South game. We'll talk about that later on. We'll look at a couple of those games Dalton referenced as far as the big games for division races, and we'll look back a little bit at last week, some key results there. So we've got a packed show here. As usual, just a reminder that you can access Prep Rally in many ways. Of course, we're in iTunes, any of your podcast apps you got there, if you don't have an iPhone. And also, you can stream it online, preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at DJournalPreps, for all things high school sports here in Northeast Mississippi. Let's start by looking back at Week 7, a quick look at some games from last week. Dalton, you saw Tupelo dominate again, 44-0 over Columbus. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about this defense. That's three shutouts, and they just people can't do anything with them.
Yeah, and it's two shutouts in a row in division play. You know that they haven't allowed a single point in division so far. And the thing about their defense that impresses me so much, and I talked about this last week on the radio, and is how one dimensional they make teams.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a really cool concept. I know you brought up something about it in your column last week, but you know, they played Corinth and they only allowed 6 passing yards. They played Brandon, they allowed 2 rushing yards.
Yeah.
They played Hernando, 3 rushing yards. And then last week, they only allowed 23 passing yards to Columbus.
Yeah.
And I mean, they allowed 96 rushing yards, but 51 of them came on the last drive.
Yeah. So,
but you know, to give props to Columbus, they were playing without their starting quarterback. But the Tupelo defense is scary, and you know they're only allowing 7 points a game right now.
Yeah, and that's why you have to consider them a very serious title contender, because that defense can take you a long way against even the best of teams. Offensively, though, they're not bad. Now I know Stephon McGlon, the quarterback, he was a little bit shaky the other night, maybe.
Yeah, they started off, they were wanting to throw the ball around a little bit, and they couldn't connect. McGlon missed on a few passes, and then he looked really good on a few passes that 3 or 4 receivers just dropped. And, I mean, he didn't look terrible at all. I mean, and then he did connect on a few of them. I think he ended 4 for 11 for 50 yards and a touchdown. But, I mean, it was a 36-yard touchdown pass to Marcus Evans.
Yeah.
That kind of rounded it out there in the third quarter. So, but once they couldn't really get that pass game going, they just started handing it off and started running the ball, which is, you know,
not a bad option.
No, not at all. And I think Jaquarius Williams finished 12 rushes for 142 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had 147-yard rush and 153-yard rush.
Yeah, that's almost 12 yards a carry. It's pretty good right there. So, yeah, Tupelo remains undefeated with the win over Columbus. Now, I went down to Springville. Went to see South Pontotoc host Hatley last week, a big division game there in, 4-3A. And South Pontotoc remains undefeated. The Cougars, man, they just keep rolling. They're now 7-0. And this is, their best start in, I think, over 30 years. And so this is a pretty kind of new territory for this program. But Michael Bradley has done a great job there. I think this is, what, his fourth year? And had a couple of losing seasons early. Then they came on last year, had a good year, and just rolling right now, and would be the favorite at the moment to win that division. But they won 21-7 over Hatley. Had to deal with that single wing Notre Dame box that Ken Adams brought to that program when he got hired at Hatley this year. And early on, they moved the ball well, but they just couldn't punch it in the end zone early. And then In fact, the offense didn't score all night for Hadley. The defense had to score on a scoop, a fumble, the return that was scooped up and taken to the house. But South Pontotoc started to figure things out, had a big goal line stand at the end of the first half to keep Hadley out of the end zone. And then, you know, Eddie Ivey, the running back, he's the guy for South Pontotoc on offense. He had a really nice game there for the Cougars, so they move on there with a 21-7 win over Hadley. Big game in 1-1A last week. Oklahoma hosting Smithville. The winner of that, when you figure, has the inside track to win the division, and Oklahoma wins 33-20. The Chieftains now, I believe, the only remaining unbeaten team in 1-1A. So it's a big win for Oklahoma. You know, they dropped down from 2A, had been there for a few years, had not done as well, hadn't made the playoffs much lately, but they're in good shape now at 4-0 in the division. And then Smithville still in good shape to host. You know, they could host if they can handle business the rest of the way. They got Faulkner this week at home. 3-1 in division is Smithville. And Oklahoma, by the way, plays tomorrow against TCPS, which is 3-1 in division. So that's a big one there, certainly. Some other results quickly to go over from last week. South Panola defeated Oxford 14-0. I think Hiram Wadlington, the Oxford running back, was again out of action. Starkville with a very big statement win over Northwest Rankin 38-14. That's an impressive win.
They are. They're playing good football right now, and just keep looks like they just keep them better and better each week.
Yeah, and there's another 6A title contender right there. Just won it 2 years ago and got the new coach, Chris Jones, who won it at Kemper County last year in 3A. And then Choctaw County in a close one defeated Houston 13-12, the final in that game. That was a big game there in Division 4 3A. Choctaw County, a good team. And so is Houston. So those two teams, I think, will both see them in the postseason. Now, they're in the same league with South Pontotoc, and I think Choctaw County is going to be the team to challenge South Pontotoc for that division title. But they'll meet, I think, I want to say in a couple of weeks. I have to go back and double-check the schedule on that one. But anyway, those are just a few results from last week. Let's move ahead and look at some games this week. We've got some Thursday games, Dalton. Probably the biggest one is North Pontotoc and Kossuth. That talk about division games that are important. Those two are looking to bring home the title in 1-3A. Kossuth won it last year. North Pontotoc won the 4-3A title last year, but now they're both in 1-3A after reclassification. Big game up there in that's at Kossuth. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm gonna travel up there to watch it. And the thing that kind of excites me about this is just to see Clark Mills and, you know,
yeah,
his trio of receivers go up against that Kossuth defense. And Clark Mills on the season has, you know, 1,800 passing yards and 18 touchdowns. He's only thrown 5 interceptions. He's got 3 receivers that have over 400 receiving yards each.
Wow.
I think he's got another one that has almost 300, another one that has almost 200. So it seems like whoever he throws it to can do damage. And but, you know, Kossuth, they run the ball a little more than North Pontotoc does. You know, Matt Bobo leads that rush attack, and then their defense is really what stands out for them. They only allow 12 points per game.
Wow. You know,
they have 2 losses, both to 4A teams, and North Pontotoc averages 33 points a game, so that's – we're going to see who's going to win that battle, that game. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, that should be a really good one. It's one of, I believe, we have 5 games Thursday night, an unusually high number. We've got Boonville at Alcorn Central. We've got DeSoto Central at Oxford. We've got Newside at Hickory Flat. We mentioned North Pontotoc at Kossuth. And I mentioned also Oklahoma will visit TCPS. So a nice slate of games there for a Thursday. Looking to Friday's games, probably the biggest one there would be Shannon at Itawamba AHS, a big Division 2-4A game. I figure the winner of that one has the inside track to win the division and certainly to at least host. But then again, you've got Pontotoc to deal with. And you can make an argument either way who's better amongst those three. I don't know. They've all been very impressive. Pontotoc, Shannon, and Itawamba AHS. Itawamba's 6-1, as is Pontotoc. Shannon's 5-2. They're all 1-0 in division. And they've all put up some nice numbers and got some nice wins under their belts. So that's going to be a fun division here to watch between those three teams. But it's going to be Shannon at Itawamba. Shannon's been putting up a lot of points. They put up 64 against Caledonia last week. They had an impressive road win against Clarksdale a couple of weeks ago. And Itawamba, you know, just I don't know what you can say. They're really good on both sides of the ball there. Got Jamal Shumpert, the linebacker on defense, You got Jackson Orr, the quarterback, and the you got the running back Ike Chandler. So they've got a lot of good players. We'll have a story in Friday's paper previewing that game. We're also going to preview Friday Calhoun City at East Webster. That's a big 2-2A game right there. Now, East Webster coming off a loss to Eupora in the division opener. This will be Calhoun City's division opener. So, again, it's a division where it looks like you've got really three teams competing for the you would think would be the three that would be in the mix for the division title, Calhoun City, East Webster, and Eupora.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see if East Webster can hang with Calhoun City. You know, they're both dominant on the ground, and neither one of them pass very much. But Calhoun City averages 332 rushing yards per game, mostly led from Keyshawn Parker, who's just absolutely killed it this season so far. And then East Webster averages 161 yards per game on the ground. And so...
And Charlie Brand, their quarterback, he can throw the ball for East Webster. They just they don't do it a ton, but he can do it. And then you got JoJo Gray, the quarterback at Calhoun City. Throws a little bit, effective when he does, but he also runs the ball. So, yeah, two very heavy ground attacks there. Should be a good one at East Webster. So those are just a few of the games to watch this weekend. Let's look at some other stuff here real quick. I had a story about Myrtle football earlier in the week. It's a young program. They only have junior high and JV teams, but this is their second year in existence. Justin Hollis, former Vardaman head coach, is the coach at Myrtle. Came there 5 years. I think this is his fifth year at the school. Came as an assistant principal, not coaching. He was like, you know what? I see some athletes here, and I see the potential for a football program. People got on board pretty quickly, and they have remained on board. And the program seems to be doing really well to this point. They've got a practice field already, got all their equipment and everything, and they're going to play a varsity team. This will be, I guess, basically their first varsity game. Now, again, they don't have a varsity team per se. They have a JV team, grades 9 through 11. But they're going to play Middleton, Tennessee, which is they're going to play that team's varsity squad this Friday. So that'll be a big moment for the Myrtle football program as they travel up to Middleton and reach a milestone in the development of that program. So check out that story I wrote for the Journal at djournal.com. Also, some news Wednesday today, if you're listening to this on Wednesday. They announced the rosters for the Mississippi-Alabama game and for the Bernard Blackwell North-South All-Star game. Now, Mississippi-Alabama, that's the big one. Those feature the best players in both states as picked by the coaching staffs. And Northeast Mississippi pretty well represented, Dalton. We've got nine from Northeast Mississippi.
Yeah, nine players, three from West Point, two from Tupelo, two from Starville, one from Pontotoc, and one from Oxford.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's five that of our area schools that are really good, and you know, all the players that got selected are very well deserved.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got a couple of at least a couple of MSU commits in there with Jet Johnson, the linebacker from Tupelo, and Marcus Murphy, the running back from West Point. You've got Cole Smith, the offensive lineman from Pontotoc. He's an LSU commit. Also from Tupelo, Peter Gray. He's a linebacker, but for the purposes of this game, he was selected as a tight end, which I found interesting.
Yeah, and I've seen him play a little tight end just covering this year, but he hasn't. They haven't thrown to him much. I think he only has one catch on the season, and yeah, I don't think it went for just a crazy amount of yards.
Well, it seems like these days in high school football, you don't see the tight end get a lot of use as far as catching the ball. I mean, there are exceptions. You think about Brett Riley at South Pontotoc. I think this was a good way maybe to get somebody deserving into the game. Maybe there wasn't a spot for him, per se, at linebacker. Plus, they already had Jet Johnson, another Tupelo linebacker. So, hey, put him on offense. And I'm sure he'll do fine. He's a good athlete.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, he blocks well. I mean, he plays on the offensive. When he comes in, he plays and blocks.
Right.
But I just haven't seen him catch many passes.
Okay. And we mentioned three from Starkville. You got Cameron Gardner. He's a wide receiver. You've got Cameron Jones. Excuse me, two from Starkville. Cameron Jones. He's an offensive lineman. And the offensive coordinator is going to be Toby Collins from Northwest Rankin, formerly of Itawamba AHS, and also on the coaching staff for Mississippi is Chris Jones of Starkville. He's handling the receivers and such. And so those are the nine guys that will represent Northeast Mississippi in the Mississippi-Alabama game. That's set for December 16th at Southern Miss, a noon kickoff on Raycom Sports. Also, the Blackwell rosters were announced. This is the North-South game. they divide the state up and have this game every year. This one's set for December 9th. That one's going to be played in Gulfport. Trent Hammond, the head coach of Tupelo.
Yep, and a couple of Tupelo guys that go along with them. Yeah, they Josh Smith, the kicker. He's I think on the season, I think he's 2-for-4 on field goals. He missed two against Hernando.
Okay.
And then they got two of the that very strong offensive line with Matt Ray and DJ Rudd on up there.
Yep.
And you know, they also have Brian Jones, the linebacker coach, who coaches Peter Gray and Jet Johnson, you know, both of them.
He's on staff, and as is Andy Crotwell, the North Pontotoc coach. He'll be an assistant coach in this game. Other guys from around here on the North roster, we've got Chris Calvert, the West Point running back, Cameron Hines, the receiver from Starkville. Also from Starkville, Jalen Ware, defensive back. Got J.J. Jernigan from Amory, Clark Mills, we mentioned earlier, from North Pontotoc, Austin Morphis from Pontotoc, Jamarcus Quarles from Lafayette, Quentin Wilfon, the linebacker from Oxford. And so you've got 11 total players from the Northeast Mississippi area on the North roster. So there you go. You got, again, Blackwell going to be played on the 9th of December. A week later, Mississippi-Alabama game. So a lot of good local football players making those all-star rosters. Let's wrap up the show with our athletes of the week, as we do every week. We'll pick out a male and female athlete and recognize them for their accomplishments from the past few days. Female athlete of the week. Reagan Sullivan of Moorville. On Monday, she had three hits, all of them home runs, in a 32-14 win over North Pontotoc. Again, this is softball, not football. It's slow pitch. It happens. And then she turns around on Tuesday, has four hits, two of them home runs, in a 27-12 win over South Pontotoc. By the way, that win clinched the division for Moorville. So congrats to Reagan Sullivan and the Lady Troopers for clinching that division. The playoffs start Saturday. There you go. Male athlete of the week, Starkville quarterback Malik Brown. Talk about efficient. He completed 21 of 26 passes. That's 80% for 301 yards, three touchdowns. Oh, and he had 53 yards rushing with a touchdown in that win over Northwest Rankin. So congrats to Malik Brown and Reagan Sullivan, your athletes of the week. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Again, you can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And that's it. We'll be back next week. Have a good one.